Yes, thank you very much, Tiho. Thank you to all the organizers of this very important webinar on a very important topic. Yes, I just hope you see me now. Can you see me? And I will now share the screen of the PowerPoint presentation. I hope you can see it now. Right. Okay. So I start with a quote by Ursula von der Leyen, the President of the European Commission, who exactly a year ago, she said, European Union needs humane borders. We must save. But saving alone is not enough. We must reduce irregular migration. We must fight smugglers and traffickers. It is organized crime. We must preserve the right to asylum and improve the access for refugees, for example, through humanitarian corridors in close cooperation with institutions like UNHCR. We need empathy and decisive action. This is what she said exactly, 16 July last year, when she was president-elect's first speech to Europe, introducing also on this European level the concept of humanitarian corridor. Now, what is the humanitarian corridor as we conceive it with Sant'Egidio and our partners? Well, it is an answer to the humanitarian tragedies, of course, in the Mediterranean area, in the refugee camps, and in so many war zones, especially Syria. Of course, we were appalled as Sant'Egidio organization by what's happening there, but also other tragic situations like Iraq, Palestine, Eritrea, and so on. It is a concrete project of safe and legal pathways for refugees to come to Europe and apply there for asylum. So here is important, of course, safe, but also the word legal. The legal pathway, the legal basis is Article 25 of the EC Regulation 810 of 2009. This humanitarian corridor is complementary to other existing programs, especially resettlement programs done with UNHCR and by many states in the world, but it's complementary to this. The humanitarian corridors are set in place since 2015, so have been going on for 5 years now. It started in Italy, but the model was then expanded to other countries, EU and other countries. We will talk about that. It started as a faith-based initiative. Sant'Egidio is a Catholic community. We worked closely together with the Federation of Protestant Churches in Italy, and also the Waldensian Church was also an important actor from the very beginning. And later on, it was also other also came on board. I will talk about that. Initially, the first humanitarian corridor was opened for Syrian refugees who were living in Lebanon, but later also from other transit countries like Turkey, like Eritrea, and so on. Okay, I will now briefly showing what are the different steps in the program, and then you understand what it is. The first step to set up a humanitarian corridor takes place in the hosting country, so your country, my country, Belgium, or other countries. The first step, of course, is finding partners. And I already mentioned the Protestant churches and the Waldensian Church in Italy, but also the Catholic Bishops Conference, Caritas, other faith-based organizations, not just Christian, also Jewish and Muslim, and also secular organizations have come on board in different settings. So it is an ecumenical project, but it's also interfaith and also interconvictional. I don't know if the word exists in English. It's interconvictionel or interlevensbeschouwing in Dutch. So involving also secular partners, let's say. Then the second step in hosting countries is, of course, to find an agreement with the authorities, with the government, on home affairs, foreign affairs. So this has to be negotiated because, of course, this is a collaboration between the civil society, between private actors and the state. And this negotiation is on different topics, of course, the number of refugees that are involved, the origin, the nationality of the refugees, the procedure, the help for integration, and also the financial aspects, because a very important part of this humanitarian corridor is that's a private-sponsored initiative. So private sponsors, in this case, the Sant'Egidio and its partners, they finance the visa, the travel costs, and also the accommodation and the food for the families that come with the humanitarian corridor during the asylum application. And even after that, they pay for integration assistance during 1 year or even 2 years, depending from the country. So this all this negotiation can take time, and sometimes it's not a successful ending. But when it is successful, it ends with the signing of an official protocol. The second step takes place in the country of transition. So the country where the refugees are. So a mission to the transition country is established. So as I told you, first of all in Lebanon, but later on in Ethiopia and Turkey as well. And we are thinking also about Libya, of course, and other maybe transition countries for refugees. Then there, the mission meets the international organizations, mainly UNHCR, of course, which is the main interlocutor for the international organizations, even though, for instance, in Turkey, it's very also important to talk to the National Ministry for Migration. And, of course, we speak also with the embassies of the countries involved in Europe. Then we meet local partners who have good knowledge of the humanitarian situation of refugees in camps or other places. They can be very different. They can be the partners of our partners already, so faith-based Christian organizations, but they can also be local religious organizations or secular organizations, human rights organizations, and so on. Then, and that's the very delicate point, of course, we start meeting the eligible families or individuals. Our people in Lebanon, for instance, and they have at least three, sometimes four interviews with the families and the persons, and also one visit in the place where they live. Because, of course, this is the very delicate phase of the operation, because the criterion, of course, is first is mainly vulnerability, or even only vulnerability. So who are vulnerable persons? Yes, in the end, one can say we are all vulnerable, which is true, but some are more vulnerable than others. So minors, people with health issues. We look also at gender, so especially ladies with children, women with children, without a man, but also entire families. The age, elderly, also can be a target group. And religion is not a criterion as such. But of course, belonging to a threatened minority can be a factor of vulnerability as well. Then also talking to the families and individuals, we also see if they have already connections with certain countries of destination, where they have family or friends, which can help their integration in the new country, and which can also make a difference in where they are going to. Are they going to Italy or to France or to Belgium or even to another country? And of course, we do also expectation management, that we explain them what we will offer and what we will not offer, what they can expect and what they cannot expect. And also, it's also a means to understand their willingness and sometimes their ability to integrate in a new country. Because it's not every single interview that ends with then a humanitarian visa. Because sometimes we decide also together that it's maybe better to stay there where they are and to find solutions for their problems in the country where they are. Of course, then we make up the list with the eligible families or individuals. We submit this list, candidates, to the authorities. because of course the security check, since it's not our aim to bring over, for instance, potential terrorists or whatever, so the security check is done by the security services of the country we are working with. Okay, now we have the third step. We have four steps in our know. Third step is the journey. Of course, once the names have been confirmed, we prepare the humanitarian visa with the embassy. We book the planes. We help to organize the families for the travel. Sometimes it's really the first time they have an international travel. So many families or persons are for the first time on a plane. So it's all also very emotional, of course. It's leaving for a second time the country where they are living. We have the flight, and also this is also very important. We accompany the people. It's also emotional, not just for people that are coming over, but also for those who are accompanying them, because in comparison with those who are risking their lives on the boats, on the sea down, and so many flights of people on the flight. So it's very, of course, very comfortable to have a flight, regular flight, and also regular visa. Then, of course, we organize the arrival in the country. We have a welcome committee, and usually we do also a press conference. The press conference is also to create awareness that there are other means and other ways to welcome refugees and to organize, let's say, the asylum right of those refugees in Europe. More organized and legal, of course. And then the families are dispatched to the hosts in different parts in the country. They are not all in the same place. The fourth step is, of course, welcoming and integration the refugees. The host offers and also pays for the welcome, accommodation, food, health check, and so on. He or she accompanies the refugees during the asylum procedure. After being granted refugee status, and this refugee status is, of course, sure for almost 100%, because the real check has been done before leaving the transitional country. But, of course, the timing of this is unknown. This can be several weeks, but in sometimes also several months, so we don't know. But after that, at least in Belgium, but in most countries, refugees with refugee status start to receive state money and other help from the state. But the host continues to sustain the family on its way to integration. Language courses, jobs are very important for at least 1 or 2 years. And after this time, the family should be ready to be self-reliant and can proceed also to other destinations if they want to do so. Well, what are the results? Well, the results in the last 5 years, here are some facts and figures. So for Italy, we signed an agreement for 2,000 refugees from Lebanon. Still with Italy, 500 refugees from Ethiopia. France, 500 refugees from Lebanon. Belgium, 150 refugees from Lebanon and Turkey. And we had some minor states, but playing an active role. Vatican City, people maybe remember the Pope taking refugees, families with him in his plane from Lesbos, because we have started also to setting up a humanitarian corridor from Lesbos, which is, of course, within the EU, but where is a very particular situation. So we try to fly in vulnerable refugees from there and families to other EU or not EU countries. So also San Marino and Andorra have been active in this. So until now, more than 3,500 have arrived. Of course, the arrivals and the whole procedure has been a bit blocked now by COVID-19, but we hope to resume soon. I think it's important that this is a replicable model, so with more partners, more governments, more countries can come in, and also different groups, maybe not faith-based, but we will hear about universities. But we think also about schools or companies or local city governments who can be a partner in this and who can be active in this kind of humanitarian corridor. And for the success, because I think we can talk of a success, of course, we have done some research on the parcours of the people that came with humanitarian corridor, and we see that they integrate rather well in the new society. And this help for integration is a critical aspect of the success, but we believe that here further research is necessary. So thank you very much. I think I spoke a bit too long, but I will leave it for you.